Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Gestus and Dismas are the apocryphal names given to the thieves crucified with Jesus. Their names first appeared in the apocryphal Gospel of Nicodemus from 4th century AD. Gestus was the mocking thief, and Dismas was said to be the repentant thief. What more do we know about them? Not much. Legends, stories. But in fact, we really don't know what their names were for sure anyway. And beyond curiosity's sake, it doesn't really matter. What do we know? Well, we know they were both equally guilty. We are told in Matthew 27:38, then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. The actual Greek word is the same used of Barabbas in John 18:40. The word is defined as a plunderer, an insurrectionist. That is why some translations will translate the Greek as rebel. Gestus and Dismas were arrested or were caught taking something by force, just as Barabbas was known for. They were convicted and now dying as guilty robbers, hanging and bloodied from the cross. The law caught up with them, and they were suffering and dying for it. Sooner or later, the law catches up with all of us and nails us down. Our beds may not be made up of wood, and our hands and feet may not be stuck with nails, but the law catches up, convicts us of our sin. Now, all of this happens because our ancestors, long time ago, stole what's not theirs to take when they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So now we all live under the curse of the law, cursed as sinners to die. Live as good a life as you will, the law will still catch up with you and put you to death. In our text this morning, the law caught up with Gestus and Dismas. Both were in the same situation for the same reason. They were both condemned robbers. At first, they both naturally responded the same way. Matthew 27:44 says, and the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Imagine for a moment the graphic violence that's taking place. They were in complete misery. Life couldn't get much worse. And then they come to find out that between them is a Jewish guy who thought he was God. Your human self would say, this guy obviously is not any type of Messiah. If he really thinks he is God, I might as well bring him back down to earth. And that is what both did for a time. And then the story takes an amazing turn. Gestus stayed in the shadow. Luke tells us and spells it out clearly, the words of Gestus in verse 39, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him saying, are you not the Christ? Save us, save yourself and us. Note the religious terms, of the insults. He knew that Christ was supposed to come and save the people. Yet instead of asking Christ to save him, he taunted Christ to save him, even commanded it, save yourself and us. If Jesus really was the Christ, it was his duty to prove it, and to prove it to him and the world to save him. The only way that Jesus could save him was if he first saved himself. And in his bold way of thinking, Jesus should either man up or shut up. He felt that Jesus should obey his command to save him from his suffering. Otherwise, he wasn't worth his weight in salt. Jesus was, in his mind and the minds of many who were insulting him, worse than a fraud. For his fraud was giving people false hope. As I thought about that, there's a gritty nature to some unbelief that loves to take pride in its unbelief. People under this pride say, yeah, I've done some rotten things in my life, but I'm not going to beg your God for mercy or anyone else. I lived my life the way I wanted to. I had fun at it. If you want me to feel guilty about it and go out in a whimper, I'm not. I had fun. I lived my life, so be it. Sometimes I think of the Frank Sinatra song, I Did It My Way. Or sometimes when people become frustrated and angry and life doesn't go their way, they blame God and anyone who trusts him. They consciously decide that if God is real, they'd rather go down swinging than whimpering in a blaze of their own self-proclaimed glory. I received a telephone call just like that this week. They were frustrated, angry with life, and spent a very long time yelling and complaining about God, the church, and all Christians in general. And that's why they were leaving the faith. This is the darkness of the cross, the shadow of it. When the rubber hits the road and this all-powerful God doesn't mercifully give relief from suffering, then we decide that he just couldn't be love, or he couldn't be God. So we choose to be our own God. These are the modern-day guestesses of the world who choose to stay in the darkness, even from the suffering and death of the cross, with Christ right in their face. But Dismas was brought into the light. Have you ever pondered why? It is amazing that Dismas changed his tune so close to death. After being defiant, even at the beginning of his death on the cross. We never know how or when God will work, even in the most hardened of people. There is hope. There is always hope, even until the day they die. Our text tells us of the change of heart. Verse 40, but the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed, justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. In Dismas, we see the heart of confession and faith. When God brings us to the realization of ourself and of his self, Dismas realized that God was just, and that he had better stop shaking his fist at God. Dismas understood he was being punished justly. Dismas didn't ask Jesus to take him down from the cross or to reduce his sentence because he realized that he was getting what he deserved. He didn't look at his suffering as some sort of injustice on the part of God. He didn't expect Jesus to change his sentence. He deserved the death he was receiving. This is truly a repentant attitude. When you suffer for any reason or for no apparent reason, who can ultimately say to God, why are you allowing this? Who has the right to shake their fist at God and accuse him of injustice? Why should we, even as Christians, expect God to withhold the law of suffering and death on behalf of us? Instead of being defiant or angry with God, Dismas realized that he was getting what he deserved, It now hangs on the cross for his sin. I was fascinated to watch the story unfold. It is interesting that when Dismas came to his sense, he didn't look down on Gestas for what he was saying. He tried to reason with him. He wanted Gestas to realize what he did and who he was. This wasn't injustice for him to hang there. It was justice under God, and even under a corrupt system, it was justice. He felt like he was exactly where he belonged as he hung there. And then amid his despair, Dismas said something completely irrational and completely foolish to the human ear. After a lifetime of robbery and even a death of mockery, he asked Jesus for something he had no right to ask. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did he want Jesus to remember? His mockery? His robbery? What exactly was Jesus supposed to remember about him? What good was there to remember about this failure of a man? What gave the robber the gall to ask such a thing of Jesus? The only place was in the words and actions of Jesus, in the way that Jesus was suffering and dying, in the words that people were saying about Jesus, in the plaque above Jesus' head. Jesus did not portray the picture of someone who would hold grudges. Jesus did not portray the picture of an angry and bloodthirsty Messiah who wanted to damn people. Jesus wanted to save people. Jesus wanted to save you. Jesus was gentle and kind, forgiving and caring. His whole death portrayed a powerful picture of mercy and forgiveness. The Holy Spirit worked through this picture of Christ and emboldened the robber to ask the impossible, that Jesus would mercifully remember the robber. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Dismas was convinced that this was not the end of Jesus' life and the end of his kingdom, but that even though this death, Jesus was establishing his kingdom and entering it. What profound faith. What a foolish request. He believed that Jesus was going to rule and have memory even from the grave. So in faith, he asked Jesus to have mercy and remember. And Jesus said something that would even sound more foolish to the human ear listening. He who was hanging on the cross and dying as a criminal confirmed his mercy within Demas' heart by promising him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus promised this believer, who happened to also be a convicted criminal and mocker, that he would be with him in paradise. Can you imagine any sweeter words to hear? Jesus would forget all about Dismas' past and give him a heavenly future on the same day of his death. God worked faith in one of the most hardened criminals who had just earlier hurled insults at Jesus. Just prior to his death, he was rescued from the gates of hell, not given the eternal hell he deserved, although through faith in the Messiah hanging next to him. Sometimes in our life, we find ourselves hanging on a cross of some sort. It is at that moment you face the shadow of Gestas and the light of Dismas. A part of you will want to shake your fist at God, wondering why he didn't give you more special treatment as his child and keep you from such suffering. Yet you will also fear that there is a reason behind this, that you haven't lived a life that deserves any better. The shadows will creep in. When you find yourself hanging by a thread, feeling that weight on your shoulders, that feeling of worthlessness, you say a simple prayer, Jesus, remember me. It's not a prayer of arrogance. It's a prayer of faith and hope. It's recognizing that Jesus doesn't hate you, but loves you. God doesn't have it out for you. He wants to help you. He died for you. He wants an eternal relationship in heaven. The prayer doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to have fancy theological words. Dismas kept it simple. Remember me. As you face the circumstances of your life, remember who Jesus is. And as he remembers you, his baptized child that he has forgiven, and he loves you all the way into paradise. Amen. We have the